whether it's in Europe or
anywhere.
Anywhere. Okay, that's great.
It's been an extraordinary journey because you want me to tell you how it happened?
I would love to know. You know, did it just happen to you all of a sudden?
No.
Oh, it came in little bits? Okay, tell us.
Well, I'll start off. First of all, I was a lapsed Catholic. I had no real interest in religion. In fact, I could honestly say I was heading towards being agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't received sacraments for years, including confession. Had no interest, quite frankly, because my life was a different, far removed from going to church or going to Mass. I was a high flyer businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think myself, before the messages began, I think there was a preparation. I didn't realise at the time what it was, but what actually happened was I was visiting somebody in hospital and I went into the church and I happened to pray before a statue of Our Lady. This was a year beforehand. Now, I hadn't prayed for a long, long time. And as I prayed, she came out on the altar. I was so, like, how can I describe it? I freaked out.
So were you in the church by yourself at the time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know there was another person with me.
Mm-hmm. And did they see it too?
Yes.
They did, okay.
But that was helpful because mm-hmm. at least I knew it wasn't just me. I was, when I saw her, I couldn't move. She was so powerful, so strong. The image came and she was crying. And I was just gobsmacked and I ran out of the chapel, trembling. I couldn't keep it together, as we say here.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few days later, I said I'd go back. And I was visiting this particular person in hospital and I kept going back. And every single time I went back, now, after that I was on my own, I kept seeing figures coming from the statue. I didn't know what they were, but I saw figures of a little girl with a shawl. I saw a man with a skull cap, a dark skull cap with a beard. I still don't know who that is.
Was it Padre Pio, do you think?
It could be, because I have seen him since. Mm-hmm. It could have been him as a young person. And then I kept seeing this nun, and she had a square headpiece on her head. It was such an extraordinary habit. I just said, who are these? What am I seeing here? It was shocking. I mean, really shocking. So this went on, and to make a long story short, these visions were coming for quite some time. And then, finally, in November, I went to a grotto not far from where I live, and I was with a few friends who I'd heard there was a rosary group, and something made me go down. And when I went down that day, that's what changed everything, because as I looked at her statue, she came out again. But after, straight away, I saw Pope John Paul II. Then I saw the nun with the square headpiece again, whom I now know to be Sister Faustina.
Oh my, yeah. Sister
and
Faustina.
I saw so many other mm-hmm. figures. I didn't know who they were, but I've since been told one was Saint Benedictine, I think.
Saint Benedict. He's a powerful, powerful saint.
And the other was Saint Augustine, and I never mm-hmm. heard of any of them. They meant nothing to me. So then, what happened? I knew something was happening to me because during all this period, a few strange things began to happen. I would start thinking of the crucifixion, and slowly, by degrees, I would get very, very upset thinking about the crucifixion. And then I'd find myself waking at 3 o'clock in the morning in floods of tears thinking of Jesus on the cross. I didn't know what was wrong with me, and yet I knew I was of sound mind because I'm a very busy career woman. So I have a very serious job. So I knew I couldn't go into my office the next day and act as if nothing was happening because I had to work. I mean, I had to live my life as normally as I could, but I was trembling and shaking inside. But I wasn't afraid. However, on the 8th of November, I just felt compelled to say the rosary at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know why. Something made me get the room ready, and I prayed, and Our Lady gave me a message for the very first time.
And did you see Our Lady? Did she come to you, or
yes.
did you hear it in her
life? Yes. Yes.
Okay.
No sound, no voices, no nothing like that. Mouth moving, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pen and paper. I don't know why I was so organized, but I just felt something was happening. And that's when she gave me the first message. I hadn't a clue what it meant. I'll just give you a quote from that message. My child, you have a responsible job to do, and you must not let anyone stop you. The truth has to get out. You have been chosen to do this work. My child, stay strong. Look to God above for guidance to do my work. And then she said, you have all the saints working with you. And I stopped and looked again, and I saw them all again.
The same saints that you saw prior, before?
All the same saints
that I saw before.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Okay.
And I stopped and I said, are you really speaking to me? I dropped my pen. I said, what's this? Are you speaking to me or what? Pick up your pen, that's right, and spread the truth before it's too late. These messages are of divine origin and must be respected. I trust you to make sure they are delivered effectively to a disbelieving world. It is most important that you stay strong for my beloved son. I know you suffer for him, with him, and through him. Rejoice because this is good. You are blessed, my child, to have been chosen for this work. Stay strong. And the message continued. I didn't know what it meant at all. This was at 3:30 in the afternoon on the 8th of November. And then that night I was fast asleep. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with a start. I felt my body as if I was being lifted out of my body. That's all I can describe this as. And I turned on the light and I looked at my clock, and I happened to have a picture of Jesus beside me, because I believe now I was slowly converting up to that point. And somebody gave me a picture of Jesus, and it was a battered picture. It was just propped there. And I looked, and to my absolute amazement, his face came out and just became alive, and his mouth started to move, and I knew he was speaking, but he didn't say anything. I couldn't hear anything. And I had an old envelope beside my bed, so I grabbed it and I found a pen. I knew he wanted to communicate. And that first message was, when I think it was 3 o'clock in the morning, fast asleep, and next minute out this message came, and it was just extraordinary. I couldn't make it up. I'll just give you the first paragraph.
Oh, yes, please do.
Behold, the time is near for you to tell the world that justice will befall all those who reject me. My mercy knows no bounds to all those who follow the truth of my suffering on the cross. Joy to those of my followers who reject the temptations they are faced with every day. Others who turn their backs on my teachings are blind to the promises made by me when I died for their sins on the cross. I am in deep pain and feel desolate with the abandonment that I suffer from my beloved sinners for whom I gave up my earthly life. And it goes on.
Wow. I'll tell you.
Trembling all over.
What did you do, you know, when you receive a message like that and you're called to such service? How did you feel at that point? Did you share it with anyone, or did you keep it to yourself to that point?
I rang my best friend the next morning,
mm-hmm.
and I said, either I'm going crazy or mm-hmm. something is happening. And there was a part of me hoping I was going crazy, because I said, if this is a breakdown of some sort, I'd rather have that than this. I just couldn't deal with what was happening.
Mm.
I didn't really want to deal with what was happening. And yet I felt this, it was a compelling feeling to be drawn back. I rang my priest as well. Who knows me for 20 years, and he laughed because I'm the last person he would associate.
You know, that's what makes it even so more amazing that God has chosen you, and I imagine you must have felt that way. Here you were, you said you were almost an agnostic, and yet Our Ladies came to you, and then you're receiving mm-hmm. these gifts. So you had a total conversion of the heart because of this, and this is what God's calling all of us to do, isn't he, to have that conversion of heart?
That's really, I mean, since then I've had over 250 messages.
Mm.
And quite a few haven't been published, but...
Well, are most of these messages meant for people to hear, or are many of those meant just for you privately?
No, they're meant for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're for the world, because there's a lot going to happen now. I've never, ever given dates, but he's told me, now that I'm getting strong, it's nearly a year now,
mm-hmm.
having gone through all the trauma, I can't deal with this, not able for this, I don't want this, take this back. Being woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I actually asked him on the fifth day, please don't wake me up at 3.
Are you still being wakened up at 3 o'clock
no.
in the morning?
Oh,
okay.
Only once or twice with a very important message.
Okay.
So what are the messages for? He told me that the world is going to change. That we're, now, you must remember, I know nothing, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I never read the Bible. I know nothing about the Bible. I suppose as I grew up, Bible was not something we had. We weren't really taught very much about the Bible, and I think a lot of Catholics would say the same. It's not something that was very high on the agenda. Don't
That's
ask me
true.
Why.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why. But so he told me that he was giving me messages for the world because he's out of an act of mercy. He's not coming back to judge straight away. Because he said if he did, there would be very few people in heaven. It'd be an empty place. So what he said to me is, I'm giving you these messages so that you can spread conversion to every religion in the world, so they can call on every religion in the world to listen and to hear the word of God the Father as well. Because he's coming back to save us again, and this time he's going to give us a warning. Now, I had no idea what this meant. I had no idea what this warning meant. And he told me he was going to come back and he was going to give everybody a chance to redeem themselves in his eyes. And he said, did you not think I would never come back and save you again? Because of what's happened in the world for so many centuries, he said that his mercy, you know, he loves everybody and he's coming back. And what's going to happen is, and I didn't know about anything to do with this Garabandal apparition, seemingly, this message, similar messages have been given to visionaries.
Yes. Yeah, they have been, you know, through all the way back through the ages, even from La Salette, or Lady of La Salette.
He said that everyone in the world is going to see him, he's going to touch them with his love. Not one person on this earth will not feel him touching them. You're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to see the cross in the sky, this is what I've been told. You're going to see two comets or two stars, as if there's an explosion in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to harm you physically. But a lot of people will get very, very frightened and think it's the end of the world. But it's not. You're going to be shown your sins as they offend him in his eyes. Unfortunately, some people who are in hardened sinners are going to find it so difficult. They will suffer during this. They will suffer the pain of hell. People in other less grievous sin will suffer the pain of purgatory. And he said it's for a short period of time, but without this warning, they wouldn't be saved.
So, everyone is going to see this at the same time? The light?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, mm-hmm. because he didn't say, give me a time. I got the impression morning, but I mean, I don't know. He doesn't give me a date. He keeps saying it's very soon. I've noticed that the messages are getting very urgent.
When he talks about very soon, and he's been giving you these messages, do you feel, you know, lots of times we hear that this is the time of purification, and then there's going to be a time of chastisement. Is this what you feel, or this is what Jesus is telling
you? Because I didn't understand the meaning behind a lot of the messages as I was taking them down, I just didn't really understand them. But my understanding now is it's going to happen very soon. He told me in January that 2011 is the year of purification.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what that meant. I thought it meant we all suffered in the world because of economic collapse. I didn't really understand what that meant. So he has told me it's very soon. I've made mistakes in when I was taking down some of the messages. I took down the message correctly, but I start to interpret them then. You know, if our Lord says a few months, it could be a year. It could be a few years.
Yeah, his time is not our time.
And
we know
this
that.
This was my problem. And it's very soon, I know that.
But if you're saying that the year 2011 is the year of purification, then that certainly must show you that we are coming toward that time.
Yes, we are.
When the warning is going to take effect. Does he give you has he told you what that warning is going to be? Is it going to globally affect the whole world?
Every single person over the age of reason.
Wow. Over the age of reason.
Well, I mean, I suppose at the age of 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person.
And so it's going to be such a powerful event that
it's
no one's
going to shock the world.
Wow.
It's going to everybody will be touched.
What about atheists? Has he talked about atheists? Will they be touched?
Everyone.
Okay.
Doesn't matter who they are, atheists included. They will not be judged at that point. They will be told they're going to be given time to redeem themselves in his eyes. They'll suffer for a while, and then only the most hardened of sinners won't turn back. But he prays, asks me to pray for them every single day.
Does he tell you what is causing him the most pain?
Yes.
And what is that?
The sins are the two sins that upset him, and I have a message actually for the American people I actually got today.
Oh, good, okay.
I could read it to you in a minute.
Okay, I'd like that.
There are a few things. Obviously, abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not an expert. I mean, I really don't even know the seven deadly sins.
Okay.
He has mentioned abortion quite a lot.
And, you know, Maria, we certainly can agree, because the world seems to have been turned totally around, disregarding any of God's commands to us. And when you talk about the sexual promiscuity in this world, I mean, through television or social media today, it's bound to affect Jesus in such a way that no wonder Our Lady cries tears.
Well, I mean, I've seen him suffer terribly.
Mm.
I mean, he's shown me visions now.
Mm-hmm.
He has... I've seen him cry in front of me. I have seen him just so sad, it'd break your heart.
Have you seen him with his mother?
Never together.
Never together.
I see them individually.
Mm-hmm.
I see every side of him now. I've got to know him very well. I suppose... Even though it's not even a year and I'm getting more used to this, I'm still overwhelmed, because when you're in his presence, it's a light and it's an energy that comes out of him that drains you. But you feel his pain. I feel his pain in lots of ways now. He asked me to become what's called a victim soul. I didn't know what that meant. I said yes, and he said no, wait. So I contacted my priest and I said, what does that mean? And he explained, so I took time before I decided. And then I went into the church with the priest and I consecrated myself to him.
Wow.
So I'm now union with him. I suffer.
So actually, you are carrying a heavy cross.
No, I'm fine.
You're fine. Okay.
Surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. Can you share the message that Jesus gave to you for America?
Yes. Now, I've only typed some of it because I haven't time to type it up. You understand?
Oh, okay. You just received that today then.
I did at 3:30.
Oh, how about that? That's
it replaced the normal message, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My dearly beloved daughter, I wish to communicate with the American people. My message to them is this. You, my precious children, suffer greatly in these times. You are experiencing a cleansing that is necessary in order to purify your souls. The greatest sins in America, which torment me, are the sins of abortion and immorality of the flesh. Many of my children are infested by the deceiver who rules, hidden behind closed doors, your monetary and political systems. So many of you are oblivious to this fact. I now urge you to pray for the relief required from their devious plans to destroy your country. Prayer, my children, will help mitigate the chastisement which my father will unleash in the world against the sin of abortion. Pray, and unite to pay homage to my father. For by uniting together all religions who honor the Father, God the creator of the world, you can help your country. You must pray for forgiveness and trust that your prayers will be responded to according to my father's own divine timing. I'm reading from my handwriting, so sometimes I scribble.
That's okay.
Embrace your brothers and sisters of all religious denominations who believe in God the Father, and pray as one to redeem the sins of your country. My children, so vast is your country that it is important that I can save as many souls as possible. I can do this only through conversion, which will happen during the warning, and through your prayers and devotion. Turn to me now, all of you. Do not discriminate against each other. Against each other's religion. Just trust in God the Father, and he will answer your prayers. You, my precious children, are lost. You have been shown so much confusion with twisted truth about the existence of God the Father. You use religion as a facade to wreak venom on those more unfortunate than you. It is time to accept the truth that will only be... It is time to accept the truth. And it will only be through your love of neighbor that as a nation you can return into the arms of your Creator, God the Father. I love you with a tearing compassion in my whole being. I strive to save you so you can be taken into the new and wonderful era of peace that awaits you on this earth. To enter this paradise, your souls must be free of sin. Pray for the graces to seek forgiveness for your own sins and the sins committed by your government. I leave you in peace and love, your beloved Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wow, and he wanted this message to be given to America.
Yes.
Well, when you spoke those words and you said, when Jesus said, I love you with a tearing compassion, what a beautiful way to describe that. I've never heard it that way.
All his messages, some of them are very stark and some of them are frightening, but they're all full of love. I mean, even though sometimes I tremble when I'm writing them, they're just so full of love. And you saw the love that comes from them. It's just unbelievable.
Does he tell you what these chastisements are going to be? Are they going to follow the purification?
Yes. What's going to happen, I won't say too much because I know a lot of things are being mitigated at the moment, which is very good news.
Okay.
He's very happy with prayer in the world. He said millions of souls are converting already. And a lot of the people who follow the website, their prayers have produced fantastic results, according to Jesus, in some of my private messages. But really, the warning takes place first. We're then going to be given some time. I believe a matter of months, no longer than a year. And then, at that stage, only those who have turned towards God the Father really can move forward with him. That's when the chastisement will come, but I'm hoping through prayer that can be mitigated.
So you're talking about the warning first, and you said that the warning should be coming soon. You don't know dates. You've never been given time.
I've been told a month before it's going to happen, but no further. No dates, and he never given me a date for anything. And he told me that.
Well, have you been told already a month that it's going?
Yeah.
Oh, you know. Are you able to share that with us?
No,
you can't.
No.
Okay. All right. I know that God the Father has been mentioned quite frequently, and yet many times people do not pray to God the Father.
We
pray to Jesus, we'll pray to the Blessed Virgin, to the Holy Spirit. Are you suggesting then that people really go to God the Father and seek discernment and wisdom from him?
Yes, I got a message. I'm the very same. I was just getting used to the messages from Jesus, and then God the Father is announced by the Holy Spirit. I was trembling. I was so shocked when I got the first message. I'm trying to see if I have it here now. But yes, he's very loving.
Have you seen God the Father?
Yes.
You have seen him. Can you describe what God the Father looks like to you, or what the Blessed Mother looks like?
Describe him by comparing him to what Jesus looks like.
Oh, okay.
I always thought of God as one. I never really thought of three in the Trinity. I didn't get that, okay? So when I started to see the other face, I didn't know what it was. Jesus is quite slim, thin, very gentle, wavy sort of reddish type of hair, browny red. Whereas God the Father is much darker, and he's got very curly hair. He's got thicker lips. he's very loving, but I can't describe it. I suppose it's a sense of majesty about him.
Well, artists always depict him as being with grey hair and long hair.
No.
It's not that, no?
No,
okay.
Not at all. That's what surprised me. Yeah, I'm just trying to see if I have the message from him, but the first message, I was terrified because I was trembling, because I could feel his anger. And people say God isn't angry. Well, I felt it that day. He's very angry. And as yet I felt his love, but the anger was palpable. And that surprised me, because I never thought God could be angry. I didn't think Jesus could be angry. But yes, they do. They get angry.
Yeah, righteous anger, I guess, when he looks down and
righteous
see all
anger,
the gifts that he's...
that's a good way of...
Sure, because
it.
He's poured down so many blessings upon all of us, and yet we ignore him, continue to take him out of everything, especially here in America, and I imagine all over the world today.
But it's so weird to hear me speak myself. I mean, I even listen to what I'm saying, and I say, can you imagine if you heard someone like me 3 years ago saying this? I would just dismiss them and think they were lunatics.
Yeah, but you know what, Maria?
And this is what I found so difficult about receiving them. I just said, this can't, it isn't real, it can't be.
You see?
And now, of course, I've changed, I've got strong.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it still never fails to sort of overwhelm me, you know?
Well, I can imagine, but I think it was for a purpose, because as you begin to speak, I know that there are many people that perhaps are listening to us right now that feel as if they have never invited God into their heart. Maybe they have sinned in such a way or led such a life against God that they feel as if there's no way that God would ever embrace them. And
this is what Jesus told me about that.
Oh, tell us.
First of all, he loves every sinner. He detests the sin, but he loves every sinner, even the most hardened sinners. You cannot be helped unless you ask him. He will listen to everyone. He will not judge you. He will listen. Open your heart. If you really want Jesus to listen, and you're really, really desperate, what you do is you pray to God the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and you ask God the Father, for the sake of his Son, to hear your prayer. And he can never turn you down when you ask in the name of his Son.
You know, that's almost like the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, Eternal Father, you know, I offer you the body and blood.
He told me that the message that he was giving me is a manifestation of the divine mercy. And that's what it meant. That was a prophecy, not just a prayer. That he's going to pour out his mercy through the rays all over the world. That's what he meant. He was coming back to save us one last time.
So we have an opportunity to change our ways, our life, our hearts, our families, to bring peace into this world.
Yes.
But it has to begin with each one of us making that step forward.
And he's giving us the gift to enable us to do that in a much easier way.
Well, you know, when you receive all these messages, and I know you received about 250 messages since last year. Is this when this first began?
Yes.
So almost every day you receive...
Every day I get them, yes.
Every day you receive a message.
Every single day. And sometimes I'm not allowed to receive them unless I've been in prayer. I have to, Jesus is completely... He's instructed me from day one, and there are lots of things I have to do. I have to go to Mass every day. I've got to receive the Eucharist. I have to go to adoration for 3 to 4 days a week. I must pray so many hours a day. And that is to be... I have to be obedient to him. But through my obedience, I can save souls.
Now, you say that you're in the business world. Are you still working? Are you?
Yes.
How can you combine both of these? You know, so many times people say, I don't have time for prayer.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, if we put God first in all things, he works everything out for us, doesn't he?
He does. In some ways, it's extremely difficult because you're wearing two faces.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you know, there's a side of me that says, you know, it's good to have that balance. You know?
Oh, yes.
I mean, you can't just desert the world. You've got to live in the world. You've got to communicate with people.
That's right.
You've relationships. God doesn't want you to desert everybody and just run into a church and spend all day there. I mean, prayer, he told me, can be simply chatting to him in your own words throughout the day. That is as powerful. You know,
yeah.
In your own words.
You know, because when we begin speaking to our friends, you know, we have a conversation with them, and I guess he wants us to be his friend. He's our friend, so we need to communicate with him and take time to do that.
Yes. He keeps talking about loving your neighbor, and he means by that to show kindness and love to everyone and never cheat on people. Don't treat them badly. Don't insult them. Don't slander them. And he means it right across. And, you know, it hurts him terribly when he sees people mistreat others. He's so gentle himself. And yet he's so gentle, but yet there's a firmness there. You know?
Well, when you talk about the warning, and the warning is going to happen, and you feel deep in your heart that it's not far off, so we need to be prepared, because you talk about the year 2011 being the year of purification. And,
yeah.
You know, actually, Maria, we have seen earthquakes. We've seen tsunamis. We've seen hurricanes. We've seen everything come against us in various ways, not only here in America, but around the world. Do you feel that this is like the birth pangs, that this is the beginning?
They are the birth pangs, yes. We're 3.5 years into the tribulation already.
Oh, we are, okay.
Yes.
What do you think is going to happen? Is this going to escalate and become faster and faster?
Okay. I don't believe in scaremongering because I never heard, I didn't know what was in the book of Revelation. I still don't.
Mm-hmm.
People tell me what's in it. I try not to. Because I'm afraid it might influence what I'm getting.
I see. Mm-hmm.
The one thing I have to say is I want to reassure everybody. His mercy knows no bounds. He wants to save. He does not want to cause destruction. Of course he doesn't. His patience is running out, though. This is going to give people a chance to turn back and pray. Prayer will mitigate the level and the impact of the chastisement. I can tell you that. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a certain difficult period, but it won't last long.
So it won't last long, but everyone is going to be aware that this is happening.
Everyone. And then what's going to happen after that, the scientists are going to put it down to some kind of a comet that clashed, and they're going to put it down to a... They're going to give it a scientific name, and they're going to evaluate it scientifically.
But is this going to be in the sign of the cross?
No, the cross comes first. So when you see the cross in the sky, you know it's close.
Oh, okay. The cross comes first. Okay.
Yes.
Will that cross be a cross of light, of brightness?
I actually don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
No.
Interesting. Wow. Okay.
He only gives me certain things. He did say that now is the time for reflection. If you could just pray for yourselves and for your friends and family and ask for redemption for your sins if you're genuinely remorseful. It's going to lessen the suffering you'll go through during the warning. People won't suffer physically, but they will suffer the pain of sin. And they will also, a lot of people, sadly, will not be able to withstand the shock and may drop dead with fright. And there's nothing to fear, but they will. And he wants people to pray for those souls because they're the ones he's really concerned about.
So in other words, if we are walking closely with God, if we're trying our very best to lead the kind of life that Jesus is telling us to lead and spend time in prayer, pray for our country, pray for our politicians, pray for all those who have been promoting any kind of evil in the world, you know, we don't have to fear ourselves, do we? Because we...
Not only do you not need to fear, it's a moment of great joy.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's going to be the most incredible. You're going to come face to face with him on your own.
Wow.
It's going to be an incredible meeting. You're going to see him. He's going to touch you.
Oh my goodness!
It's going to be a wonderful day. I mean, it is a wonderful, joyful occasion for believers. It really is.
We are living in exciting times right now. We have the opportunity to really change our lives and to convert our hearts over. And
he said that we're very lucky to be living in these times because he said people over the years were not given this act of mercy or this gift of his divine mercy. And they died without in sin, without being given this chance. And he said this is an amazing gift, and you're very lucky to be living in these times.
So even the hardest heart has the opportunity to be changed.
Yes.
You know, Maria, I have Father Neil on the phone. He would like to speak with you. Would you mind taking a call?
Of course.
All right, let me go to the phone and say hello to Father Neil Buckline. hey, Father, welcome to As the Spirit Leads.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I have Maria of Divine Mercy with us today, and I'm sure that you have a question you may want to ask her.
I do. Hi, Maria.
And, how are you, Father?
It's been a pleasure to listen to you. Being a priest, I was wondering if you would share, in regard to the area of your spiritual director, was it difficult in finding a spiritual director that was willing to work with you and guide you?
Yes.
Okay.
The first thing I did was talk to a priest.
Mm-hmm.
I looked for direction from day one. I met the priest. He reluctantly passed me on to another priest, who reluctantly passed me on to another one. I had to go through five.
Five different priests.
Okay.
Wow.
And then on the final priest, he broke down, cried, and told me he couldn't do it. He hadn't got the strength.
Okay.
The next priest brought it to the Archbishop's attention, who agreed to investigate the domestic. And he... this elderly man decided that someone like me couldn't receive a message from Jesus. I was not a typical visionary.
Okay.
And dismissed the message within a few months because he found one discrepancy in the first message. The first message, Jesus mentioned the word despair.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest said, Jesus would never use the word despair, so I asked Jesus, and Jesus came back with the answer. It's a euphemism for the term great distress. But the priest said, I'm not going back to the messages until the warning has taken place, and we will renew the investigation at that point.
Wow.
So I'm now, thankfully, I have a spiritual director, and I've access to two wonderful priests who take my call any time, any day, any hour.
Okay. Out of all the messages that you've been receiving, and you said it's been like 250 messages since the beginning, and you're receiving messages every day, are there specific messages for you that you do not share?
Yes.
Okay.
There are messages which I don't share.
Do you have messages for priests?
Yes.
Are you able to share any of those messages from priests who might be listening?
Well, he calls priests his actually, some of the terms he uses are sort of extraordinary. He calls priests sacred servants. And he knows they're going to go through difficult times. Their faith is going to be tested in a way that they would never have imagined possible.
Was this before all the attacks from the Kingdom of Darkness on the priesthood? With
no,
the sexual?
This is now moving forward.
Okay.
It's not going to be an easy time because there's going to be an attempt to ban all religions, not just the Catholic religion or the Christian religion. There's going to be an attempt to try and abolish the public teaching of the Word of God. I can't go into all of that detail because I'm privy to other things I can't publish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the challenge that's going to face Christians everywhere. Not just Christians, but Jews, Hindus, Muslims, you name the religion. Religion will not be tolerated.
So is this moving towards then the one world religion then? That sometimes some people write about?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
I mean, I live in Europe.
Right.
And in the European Constitution, religion is not... you can't teach religion in schools.
You can't teach religion in schools over in Europe?
It's a new legislation that's just come in. No.
My, that's astounding to know that.
Oh, no. Oh, yes, you can't. It's in Ireland, where I live. I don't mind telling you, I live in Ireland.
Okay.
If you want to be taught religion, Christianity, you have to pay for it.
Oh, so there's no such thing as a public school where you could go
in? Schools will still teach it, but a lot of parents will object if their child is taught any form of religion.
Well, you have to realize also here in America, they have taken God out of everything. I mean, even in our public schools, kids are not allowed to even sing Christmas hymns anymore.
They've taken statues from the churches in Ireland. They've taken them down.
The statues from the churches, the Catholic churches?
Yeah, a lot of the statues are gone. We're living in a period of darkness.
Well,
in
Europe. Who's taking the statues down?
I don't know. I know that there's the priests are there, try their best and work very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a spiritual darkness in Europe right now. It's politically incorrect even to mention God, even to mention Jesus. They're not considered cool.
And Ireland used to be considered one of
the religious center of Europe. No longer so, I'm afraid.
So when Jesus looks down and sees all of this, and no wonder, you know, he has given you such dire messages about chastisement and what people can expect.
Yes.
Mm.
Are you yourself under spiritual attack?
Yes.
Do you have periods of darkness?
I was waiting for that question.
I'm sorry?
She was waiting for that question.
I was waiting for you to ask me that. I knew that was going to come. Of course. Now that I understand more, of course I am. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, are you constantly under this kind of an attack? I imagine you are. You have to fight that battle consistently.
Yes, of course I am. The only difference now is I'm able to withstand it. I'm very strong. I'm protected quite a lot. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But I'm certainly able to deal with it much better than I was in the beginning. The beginning was pretty awful. It's okay now. I'm stronger.
Mm-hmm. So
yes, of course.
You know when you are really under attack. You know it's because of the work that God's called you forth to do, to accomplish.
Yes.
Well,
it's beginning to make me feel joyful now. It used to terrorize me. But now I smile. In fact, on a humorous note, I was attacked viciously about 2 weeks ago, really badly. And I looked at Jesus one night, and he was looking at me, and I just went, oh, why does this always happen to me? Why am I always a target? And I just was sort of half laughing, and he just burst out laughing.
So you knew.
He started to laugh.
Aww.
And I laughed back. I just said, well, let's soldier on.
It just shows you the battle that we're in, right? Well, you know, Maria, we have Father Neil Buckline with us right now. We have about 3 minutes left, and we're going to have to close off the program. I want to give your website so people can go and read some of those messages. Are all the messages there?
Yes.
Okay.
The warning, secondcoming.com.
It's the warning, secondcoming.com. Every one of you listening, go to that website. Read those warnings. Read those messages. They are important. Father, we have 2 minutes, but I really would like you to pray at this moment and give a special blessing to Maria of Divine Mercy.
Okay.
You know, she's been called, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, she is carrying a cross. It's not easy what she has to go through. And most people would say, oh, I'd like to see the Blessed Mother. I'd like to be able to talk to God the Father. But she's been given a specific purpose in life right now, and it's not easy. And I know, Maria, I really appreciate you being with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you treated me very kindly, and thank you very much.
Oh, you are so welcome.
I know it could be difficult, but thank you.
Well, you know what I want to do is, before, when we have to say goodbye, I'm going to put you on hold so my producer can talk to you for a moment. But in the meantime, Father Neil, I know your special priest, and I'd like you to give her a special blessing today, okay?
Okay. Lord Jesus, I ask very humbly right now that you will continue to strengthen and to pour down your grace of love and mercy, insight, wisdom, perseverance upon your servant Maria, whom you have given a very difficult mission, a very difficult vocation. Continue to console her and to love her, to help her to always realize that she is doing your will, and that you suffered out of love for us, and that she, in saying yes to this particular mission, will also have the strength to suffer along with you and not have her faith shaken by the darkness of doubt, that she, through the grace of the sacraments and certainly of your love, will continue to stay on the path and continue to be open in sharing these messages for all of us, that all of humanity, that all of us will open our hearts and our ears and realize that the time is indeed short, but that we should not fear, and that once again we need to come back to you with our whole mind, body, and spirit. And may Almighty God bless all of us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Maria. I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you, Father Neil,
thank
for joining
so much,
us.
Father.
Thank you.
And God bless all of you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Please join us then.